I'm Alex Makavica with this week's Nebraska Wheat Report, brought to you by the Nebraska Wheat Board. We're on the phone today with Mark Spurgeon. He serves on the Nebraska Wheat Board. And Mark, you traveled down to Arizona recently for the U.S. Wheat Associates fall meeting. Tell us more about this meeting and some of the highlights.
Well, first of all, we started out with a long-range planning and budget meeting. And that's where we have some new funding available. It's called the RAP funding, and that stands for Regional Agriculture Promotion Program. And what's really unique about this program, it can't be used for every country out there. They exclude China, the EU, Cuba, and Mexico. So they're really kind of concentrating on the African countries with this funding. And the first year we had $13 million allocated to the U.S. wheat of a total of a $300 million budget. And then they also started out with a RAP 2 program. And on this one, it's going to be implemented later this winter. And we requested like $25.4 million. And hopefully that will get our 13 again. And that money is used really to help, you know, develop those African countries. And it's interesting when you're talking about those African countries, why we're looking at them. They do use a lot of wheat, but the bad deal is they don't have a lot of money. So, you know, they have to have a lot of money come in from outside resources to make those guys want to buy our wheat. Another thing that was kind of interesting is becoming more popular is a hybrid wheat. You know, hybrid corn has been in existence forever. And there's been some hybrid wheat that's been tried in the past, and it really hasn't really succeeded. And the last couple of years, Syngenta has been involved in it. Westbred, which is a Bayer company, has been involved in hybrid wheat. And also Pioneer is getting involved. The reason I think these people are wanting to go with this hybrid wheat, it's a lot easier to get a genetically modified organism implanted into these plants, so that they can do some more research as far as getting the drought resistance or longer root structure or things like that, that with our regular wheats that they're trying to cross, it really can't get that, you know, put into them as fast as they'd like. So hybrid wheat was kind of a buzzword, and it's going to be coming. I think next year, Syngenta said they was going to have close to 25,000 acres of hybrid wheat out. So that's going to be interesting. And another thing that we found out is, you know, the acceptance of hybrid wheat or GMO wheats. We found out that the Japanese people, if the American public accepts it, they'll accept it, which was kind of a unique undertaking, we thought. So if we can get our people ready to accept it, you know, the Japanese people will. So that'll help us out on trying to get rid of the bad name associated with GMO products. Another thing that was bothering the Japanese people was the use of Prosaro fungicides. And, you know, we use that to help control our rust problems in wheat. And for some reason, the Japanese people, they don't really appreciate us using the Prosaro plus fungicides. And another thing that was kind of interesting is Indonesia imports a lot of our wheat, but they want to have double the insecticide to put on it, which is really off label. And why they want that, I mean, it's just like everything else, people come up with different reasons why not to buy our wheat. So that was another interesting deal. And another thing that we did do, we've had a chairman, an executive, Vince Peterson, has been with U.S. Wheat for a long time. And we voted on and hired a new exec because Vince is retiring. And he is Mike Spear, and real good individual. He's been in charge of a lot of the Pacific operations, and he's been kind of headquartered up in that Portland area, where now he's going to move to D.C., which he said he would do that. His kids are growing up enough so that he will be able to do that. I went to a couple of the meetings. NAAG was also down there, which is the National Association of wheat growers. They had a couple of issues that they were talking about. They're concerned about the ARC and the PLC programs, and they was hoping to maybe get those things changed a little bit where it wasn't such a gamble for the producer. It seems like if you sign up for ARC, the PLC is the best, and if you sign up for PLC, the ARC is the best. So it was interesting just attending their meetings. They have a meeting in conjunction with U.S. Wheat, and some of the members are members of both the U.S. Wheat and the NOG, which is the National Association of Wheat Growers. So that kind of sums up a little bit of what we did in our meetings. We had a couple of speakers that were very interesting. We had an individual who was a real estate owner in Arizona. He was talking about some of the issues that they have with the border. And I don't think we really realize it, but in Yuma County, the border is, the wall is built, and it stops right at the where the Indian reservation starts. And there's something the Indian reservation people and the government, I guess, couldn't get together on putting a wall up. But the bad thing is that's where some of the people who cross the border, and then those individuals, they camp out in the neighboring lettuce and cabbage fields. And when they camp out in those fields, they have a time where they might have to use the bathroom or so. And because of that, then that whole field is condemned. So those farmers down there are really losing a lot of money because of the people coming across the border camping in their fields, and then their fields are condemned. So that's a problem issue that we never hear about in Nebraska. And so it's kind of interesting just hearing their problems down in that country with the border, other than the other things that happen that we hear about. And another issue is that we went to the Transportation Working Group, which was put on by BNSF Railroad, and they have a problem with railroad cars that go across the border, and then when they come back, they're pretty well vandalized. I mean, there's just lots of things missing off of them, and it makes them have to repair those cars, and you know who ends up standing the cost is generally the guy who's doing the shipping. So that's one of the issues that they have. They say they come back with the traps missing off of their cars that dump the grain, and they just take it for metal so that they can sell it for some dollars to create dollars in their own pocket, I guess. And they also have people riding in the cars coming back. So it's an issue that sometimes we don't realize that what's happening down in that country. And BNSF, they have plenty of cars that go south, but it's just coming back. They got to go through, and they got to go through and inspect the whole car to make sure that it's usable for the next time. Other than that, it's whatever you want, Alex. We got what was interesting was the Desert Durum wheat. The individual gave us a little bit of a spiel on that. And there's a company in Italy that makes pasta that imports wheat from the California and Arizona area that raises that Desert Durum. They make pasta out of it, and then they ship it back to the United States, and it says a product of Italy. And it's really, it's a product of Italy made from U.S. wheat, which was an interesting little topic that we got to set in on. That about rounds it out for what we did.
Excellent. An overview of the U.S. Wheat Associates fall meeting that took place down in Arizona. Mark Spurgeon is our guest. Mark, thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you, Alex.
And Mark again serves on the Nebraska Wheat Board. That'll do it for this week's Nebraska Wheat Report. I'm Alex Makavica. You're listening to the Rural Radio Network.